Good afternoon.
Boom. You know what time it is? Browner and Lawhead. Yes, sir.
I'm John Browner. That's Jason Lawhead. And this is what we like to call Browner and Lawhead. Thank you guys for listening to the Mighty 1090. Thank you guys for listening on YouTube. Thank you guys for listening on the podcast store where you can find this under Kaplan and Crew. We are the show with the date first. What's up, Jason?
What up? I see you rehearsed that little bit today coming in. You nailed it, though. All the little places to find us, man. That was nice and clean. But
here's a quiet secret about me. I am a terrible rehearser. I never rehearse anything. Everything you've ever seen me do, I literally just did it when people saw it. So
I'm just giving you a hard time, bro. Yeah, no.
No. People say, one of the things that people say about the Kaplan and Crew show, and I've heard people say this about this show a couple of times, How much pre-show do you guys do? And I laugh. I go, zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Neither show does any preview.
It's funny because when I do stand-up and I'm at the club, and even if I'm headlining or if I'm in the middle doing 20 or wherever I'm at, and most all times the other comics are right before the showtime leafing through what they're going to say or right. They have a little set or a thing. And I don't do that. And I kind of go out almost every set. I kind of have like almost like a college or a pro football coach, more college. They'll have like the first two possessions scripted, and then they'll kind of let the flow of the game dictate. But they're going to be like, hey, the first two times we get the ball, we're doing this to get us down the field until they adjust. And I just kind of do that. I kind of be like, okay, here's my first 10 minutes. I had it already planned and before the show, and I know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to let the vibe of that dictate where I go with different material and to try to keep every show different and every show fresh, even if I'm still working on the same material. So I come from the school of, you know, just go out and play. Go out and do it, you know? You prepare by doing it every day all the time.
Right.
And our rehearsal was yesterday's show.
Right. Right. If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. Right. I live by that philosophy.
Right. Be ready, stay ready is a mantra I've kind of adopted during COVID as well. So,
and I'm a read the room guy.
It's a pleasure to be on the show with you, Browner.
I'm a 100% read the room guy. I never pre-plan I'm prepared for things to go in different ways. That I do preparation on. If this happens, through a mental process.
Right.
I'm never the type of person, I'm not trying to predetermine the room, because you can't.
Exactly. And I'll learn from my experience too. Like, you know, hey, if something happens, then you take what you learned from reading in that room that day, possibly, and learn from it. But yeah, I'm the same way, man. So, but didn't watch a lot of the World Series last night. I clicked in and out, and then I was gone. And I just, like we talked about yesterday, man, it's one of these just check your phone World Series.
Yeah, it's not there. There's no energy. Ironically, it's funny that we're talking about energy. Last night, the Laker game had energy. I had no idea that an absent LeBron would bring this much energy to the roster. And one of the things I want to get into about that game was that I saw Russell Westbrook look like Russell Westbrook for the first time in the Laker uniform. And yes, they played hard and they had to kind of steal one from San Antonio, who played great. But again, everybody plays great the first 2 weeks of the NBA season because everybody thinks they're good. After game 15, game 20, the guys who are in the lottery start showing you they're going to be in the lottery, and the contenders start showing you why they're contenders. And I felt like what we saw from Russell Westbrook made me make my decision that this was a mistake. The energy, the fire, the passion, the decision-making, the edge, it's not fair when LeBron's on the court. And I didn't think that would happen with Russell Westbrook, because that's Russell Westbrook. But man, that was the Westbrook that I know and love and recognize that was on the court last night against the Spurs. Last night, Russell Westbrook put up, because I went to look this up, if it's correct, 40 minutes, 15 for 27, 1 for 4 from 3, 10 assists, I'm sorry, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 33 points. 33 points. Like that, That's the guy. That's the guy. You're never going to get this guy with LeBron on the court. You're not.
It's the ball-centric guy. It's the ball-centric, have it in my hands, you know, throughout the course of the minutes I'm on the floor and everything goes mm-hmm. through me to get to anyone else. And that isn't going to be when LeBron's on the floor. That's the problem. What you saw last night is what you will only see if LeBron's out. And that is a ball-centric Russ. And that is a successful Russ. That has been. That's been his OKC Russ. And, you know, right. he took a backseat in Houston and didn't really play to the level we thought he was going to play at when he came in to play, you know. So, look, I don't know how those two coexist ball-centrically on the floor together and then still having to feed the beast of Anthony Davis at the same time, right? Like a LeBron and AD, depending on what kind of roles they have around him, and if LeBron's got some three-point shooters, that can be a really dangerous mix because everything's ball-centric through LeBron, and then you get to feed the beast, and then you get to hit the open three-point dagger shooters when both of you are doubled or triple-teamed or you know, or they run a tight pick-and-roll defense on you, whatever that the case may be. But I don't know how all three of those fit, and the odd guy out in that is always going to be Russ in this situation, and he's going to be the one looking to force the things to get the things that he's used to getting. So, you know, yeah, you know, I watched way more of that last night than anything else of the World Series, obviously. And I was impressed with the energy, as you said. Energy, they were still down 12 going into the fourth quarter.
Right.
They still had an overtime to beat a San Antonio team, like you said, is coming out playing like they think they're good for a while. But when you look at that starting lineup and that roster, you go, ooh, man, I mean, they still had to steal one. They still had to get big, big games from two guys. And then Monk played a really nice game. But Carmelo wasn't there. And that's what I said the day before. Like, how many times? Like, so it's just it's a weird game to evaluate other than knowing that Russ still has a lot of fuel in the tank. But
for me, I don't see it that way. For me, I see it that look at the energy Anthony Davis had last night as well. So, I'm not saying that they should get rid of LeBron. I'm not.
Right.
Don't even start messaging me, or adding me on Twitter that Browner said they should get trade LeBron off the Lakers. That's not what I'm saying, dummies. What I'm saying is the activity and the energy that is now there when LeBron's not on the court, because now Anthony Davis knows he doesn't have to do it by himself, and two, Russell Westbrook doesn't need anybody else because he's a energy waving in himself. So I honestly think that somebody needs to take a gigantic step back in shots, a gigantic step back in usage rate, a gigantic step back in their portion of the offense. And I just don't think LeBron's going to do that. AD shouldn't do that because you need him for mismatch reasons, and it has to be Russell Westbrook. So you're going to get more 10.9 turnover, 8 assist games than you will what you saw last night. And I think that's not what Pelinka traded for.
But right. That's the only thing. If you're Vogel, really the only thing you could do and try to sell your team on this. But like you said, you're talking to LeBron at this point, right? And you have to ask LeBron to make some concessions. And I'm not saying, hey, LeBron, go away or anything like that. Like you said, don't at me, don't Twitter me, don't say that don't put words in my mouth. What I'm saying is if you're Vogel and you could somehow sit this team down in a film room and go, look, first and third quarters, Russ is going to be our point guard. LeBron, sadly, you know, or beneficially for you, you're basically our best spot-up three-point shooter that's on the floor most of the game when I look at my roster, right? And I say, hey, look, we're going to turn you into our three-point shooter, and also what we're going to do is we're going to post you up. And guess what? With Russ, we're going to pound it inside on teams, and we're going to get a little old-fashioned because we can't shoot the three as well. But guess what we're going to do? We're going to get your back to the basket here, UNAD. We're going to let things run offensively in the first and third quarters through Russ so Russ can feel like he's getting that high motor running and being involved. And maybe we can get those kind of numbers in the first and third quarters. Second and fourth quarters, We're going to put the ball back in LeBron's hand to be the captain and the engineer of this offense and say, hey, Russ, now you got to be the guy taking good shots, getting those big rebounds down the stretch, hitting the open man in transition when we're out running in fourth quarters and closing out games. And we can always mix Melo in throughout the evening in his 18 to 25 minutes and let him try to get good shots in second units and second rotations. But until you can maybe get them on board to that idea of LeBron going, okay, I'll go down there and take a little bit of an extra pounding. Maybe you get some minutes off my legs and I can shoot some threes in the first and third quarters to get Russ going. But other than that, I don't know how those three coexist consistently.
I hope we begin to see LeBron and Westbrook pick and rolls. Either or. Westbrook, because he's a big, strong fella. Westbrook picking for LeBron and LeBron rolling, or vice versa. Well, it would be Westbrook picking and popping and LeBron picking and rolling. Because I think that's unstoppable.
Yeah. Defenses are going to sag on that, and they're going to give that perimeter shot all day long, and they'll die living with Westbrook or LeBron killing them from 18 to 23
Westbrook
feet.
As a driver on a big is a disaster for that big. That's a foul waiting to happen, or that's a rotation waiting to happen. And we know AD's a good three-point shooter. Monk showed you he can make shots. We know Carmelo's history at scoring. Like, as long as you keep DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard off the court, the threes will rain. But you know what else has been raining lately? Money. You know why? Because folks is winning, and folks is winning with DraftKings. Check out what we can offer you from DraftKings and their great friends. Browner and Lawhead, we're huge NBA guys, and the NBA is back at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports bettor and NBA partner. The keys to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5, $5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on any NBA team and win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. $200 in free bets, man. So why not? Why not get involved?
Right, because DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with the new same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Get that cash!
So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code GREATFRIENDS. Let me repeat that again. Promo code GREATFRIENDS. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. $200. If they win, you win. How can you beat that? Remember, Great Friends is the promotional code this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports bettor of the NBA. And remember, if you have problems gambling, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah.
Okay, we got 8 minutes, roughly 8 minutes. We're going to 1944. Mm-hmm. There you go, man. There you have it. I mean, I want to win some money. Don't y'all want to win some money? Don't you want to win some money, Jason?
I'd like to win some money. I'd like to save some money. That's what I'm trying to do right now. My wife and I are saving some money, so maybe one of these days we can call Gary Cooper and Padilla. Alex won't be the only one with a house on this crew.
You know, talk about houses. You know who's changing houses? Deshaun Watson. Where to? Nobody knows. Let me start off by saying this. Would you trade for Deshaun Watson?
Well, if I'm a few teams.
As a Cleveland Brown fan, if you were the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, would you trade for Deshaun Watson?
No, I mean, if I'm a Cleveland Browns right now with Baker Mayfield and Case Keenum, no, I'm not trading for Deshaun Watson. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm exploring that option. If I'm the, obviously, right now, as you see, the Panthers without McCaffrey.
They backed out.
They did back out, right? But I'm still saying, if I'm the Panthers, I'm looking at the options and going, hey, Darnold did look good with McCaffrey, but without McCaffrey, man, he looks like he's worse than he was with the Jets. So I'm still exploring that if I'm them. If I'm the Dolphins, I'm definitely exploring it. If I'm even the Lions right now, right? I mean, you're 0-7 with Goff. He isn't, you know, he's flatlined from his best days in L.A. He's not going to show you any bit more. He's not excited to be the quarterback of the Lions, like Stafford came in, you know, and took his talents and even elevated him a little bit more with the kind of endeavor he was going into. So, but you know, I think Deshaun holds a lot of cards here. I mean, he holds a lot of no trade clause cards here. So it's kind of tough when you are the GM of somebody to go, hey, yeah, we trade for Deshaun, but will he come and play for us? You know,
if I were this one team, I would have already done this. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would have already done this. We're a solid organization. We've got the cachet to go to Roger Goodell and say, hey, if this goes down in the worst way possible and he don't get no jail time, 4-game suspension max. That's what we're going to need you to do because you work for us. And this is what we're going to need you to do, 4-game suspension max. Because I'm looking at the quarterbacks coming out in the next 2 years, not even close to Deshaun Watson. And the Steelers won't be bad enough to get that particular person without trading 3 first-round picks. So what the Houston Texans are asking for is an opportunity for them to restart their organization. If I'm a contender already like the Pittsburgh Steelers, I trade for him right now because I have Ben Roethlisberger. I give them Haskins. I tell Ben, you're not playing next year. So we're bringing this guy in. We're going to get him up to speed on what we do. And if you get hurt, unfortunately, we'll have to put him in, but we'll get him here. We'll get him in our system. We'll get him football shape, and then we'll play him next year. Because this is what I think is going to happen with this case. And I'm interested to see what you think about what I think, because that's what the show's based on. I think he's going to pay these women off, because wherever he gets traded to, they're going to say, hey, man, pay these women off. Get this out of the way. He's going to pay these women off, and then it's all going to go away. He will be found guilty of nothing. If anything, some type of counseling or fine his lawyer will negotiate it down to, I don't think he's going to spend a second in jail. Not a single solitary one. And if I'm the Dolphins, or if I'm the Eagles, or if I'm the Panthers, and someone like the Steelers get him, and he gives the Steelers 10 years, a full decade of playoff and Super Bowl potential, I'm going to kick myself. I really am. Because I don't think he's going to jail. And I think he's got enough money to pay the fines off, to pay off the restitution, what these women are going to want. So if I'm that organization, what's stopping me?
Yeah, you know, and I think that, you know, I agree with you on the whole sense of Watson seeing jail time or doing jail time. I think the guillotine, the books would have been thrown already if there was really any real
rape
chance of slamming the cell shut. We'd be a lot closer to that decision or occurrence happening and knowing more about that. So, yeah, in that sense. And right now, Pittsburgh is in a situation, you're right? Like, look, Pittsburgh in their division never really had to worry about other quarterbacks. Well, right now they're facing three legitimate young quarterbacks that could be on these teams for a long, long time. What did Pittsburgh have to do for the last 25 plus years? I mean, even the two Super Bowls, Baltimore won. Pittsburgh had to worry about how those defenses affected their quarterback.
Right.
They won with Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco, right? The Bengals had Carson Palmer. He couldn't stay healthy. Now they've got a guy that actually has a big, larger window. The Cleveland Browns haven't had anybody since they haven't had anybody since the Ravens weren't even the Ravens, since they were the Ravens.
Right.
So now they actually are looking at wow, we have Father Time over here. And they've got three who we never had to deal with. We only had to worry about maybe a Bengal defense and a Raven defense once in a while, knocking us off the block. So now they look like they could be in a perennial situation where they are the fourth weakest kind of quarterback offense going in once Ben leaves. So Watson makes all the sense in the world. You know, black head coach, black quarterback, good relate. You know, that could be a growth point where it's an easy sell to say, hey, let bring him in. Tomlin will keep an eye on him. We've been historically, great about these kind of things. I mean, they walked Big Ben through a lot of trouble. Let's not forget, a long time ago, they held his hand through a lot of, youthful trouble,
questionable decision making off.
Yeah, and was able to, repair and at least keep a kind of a reputation for him going better than it went worse. So there's a lot of sells here.
If I'm Mike Tomlin, I go to the Rooneys. I have a meeting. I say, look, this is what we should do. Now, obviously, I'm telling you this because I think this is what I would do. This is what I recommend. We trade for Deshaun Watson. We weather the initial storm because no one really knows the details of the situation. He just kind of looks like a creep who likes to have his meat touched during the massage. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what this boils down
to. He's like an NFL owner.
And so what's really the problem, guys? You recognize this behavior. You do it yourself. Right. So now that we've got that out of the way, this guy's going to give us 10 more years of, if not equal production of Ben, better production of Ben. So we'll have our quarterback squared away for the next 10 years. So then we're looking at possibly 30 years of great quarterback play and more Super Bowls for us. Don't we all want that? It's right there. We just got to take a risk because we're never going to be bad enough to take the first pick. And what it'll take to get in the top five is what it's going to take for us to get this kid out of there anyway. So let's just bite the bullet, do this, and come back ready to go for the next decade and see what happens. But you know what we need to see what happens? What's going to happen Thursday night? Brown and Lawhead. Second half of the show. Welcome back to the favorite show you didn't know existed. Browner and Lawhead, my dear 1090. Find us on YouTube. Find us on Google search at the iTunes store. We are everywhere. We're doing just about everything. We talked about the Watson trade if you guys were just getting here. We talked about the Lakers and what we think should happen with Russell Westbrook. And now we're ready to talk some football, some actual physical playing football. We're talking Thursday night football, and we're talking about football going into the weekend. Jason, Thursday night football, Cardinals, Packers. There's a lot surrounding this game with COVID. What do you see going into tomorrow night that's got your attention?
Well, obviously this is the power ranking matchup of the year so far this deep into the season. So this is going to tell us a lot. This is a big game for, you know, potential home field tiebreaker in the NFC, being the one seed at this point with these two teams, with the way obviously they're playing, and the division that the Packers are in gives them even a little bit more cushion to kind of feel better about having a great record if they can come out of here with a win. Cardinals at home under the big lights. I tend to like the Cardinals in this game with the way they're playing. I feel like they have seen everything that they've had to see to come into a game like this, you know, tomorrow night. Even the Packers are playing, and the way they've got a guy like Aaron Rodgers that can just take a game away from you, even when you feel like you want it. I like the Cardinals in this one. I like them, maybe not by that line, which is around 6.5. I think it's going to be a closer game than that. Maybe even a Crosby miss is the reason they win this thing. Something to that effect, or a late score by the Cardinals being led by Murray down the field. But I think it's going to be a great ball game. It's nice to see a Thursday night matchup to get the week started with this good of a game. There's a lot of kind of iffy matchups on the weekend again this weekend. There's some good ones, but there's some iffy ones. So this is a good one, playing kind of right after game two tonight of the World Series. There won't be any baseball to contend with. And I like the Cardinals by 3 in this one.
I think if we're going to talk about this game, I think we have to use this as the, I don't want to say the last proving point, because there's so many more games left for the Cardinals. But I honestly think this is going to be the game. And I know Davante Adams is possibly out, and I know the second best receiver, whose name escapes me right now, he's got COVID. He's on the COVID list as well, so you won't have your best two receivers. But I'm not going to discount if this is going to be the moment that the Cardinals get national attention. Because I think they're going to stomp the Packers. I really do. I think offensively, the Packers don't have the weapons to contain them. Defensively, I'm sorry. The Packers don't have the weapons to contain them, nor have they shown at any point this season that they can stifle an attack of this nature. In addition to that, I think the Cardinals' defense is good enough to hold teams, even a team like the Packers, to 21 to 24 points. If the Packers put up 24 points, they're going to lose this game if that's all they put up. if they can get to 28-35, I think they got a good chance of winning, because I think the Cardinals are going to get to 28-35 on tomorrow night. So I'm going to keep saying this. I'm going to keep harping on this, because I honestly believe this is the moment. And I think that, like, I think there are more games left, but I think this is the last stepping stone for people to go, okay, the Cardinals are real. Look what they went and did to Green Bay.
Yeah, this will be a big test for Green Bay's defense, I think. I think Aaron Rodgers will always find.
He's great. He's not up. We're not testing him.
Yeah, even if it takes a quarter and a half for the offense looking bad with maybe a weapon or two, he'll find his way. He'll get his footing, and he'll get the ball moving for Green Bay to have a chance. This is going to be a big test for Green Bay's defense, I think, because it has played well in the last few games against obviously some subpar opponents, yes, from where it started in that mess against the Saints earlier in the year. But they've really been able to make some really big individual plays on defense. They made some big plays to stop drives that the Bengals could have put them away with, and got the big interception right in the end zone. So, you know, that was a good team that they were able to stand up to defensively in big moments. So I think this is the big kind of moment for the Packer defense to say, hey, look, yeah, we got Aaron Rodgers and we can beat you that way. But guess what? Even if they lose to 3 or 6 points inside that spread, I think it'll be kind of a moral victory for that defense to know that, look, we can send that defense out there and beat anybody as good as a Burrow or a Kyler Murray as well. So big, big test for that defense, more than the offense having to kind of show itself with a few weapons out. Like I said, I think Rodgers still is just, you know, he just discount double checks his way through, you know, every situation he's in. And so I won't fear that too much.
Let's over under. Let's, in the spirit of DraftKings, our newest sponsor.
There you go.
Over under, who's got more yards, Rodgers or Murray?
I'm going to go Murray, only because, you know, with Adams possibly being out, and I think that Green Bay can traditionally start slow sometimes. Sometimes you'll see games where you're like, ah, Rodgers is 5 for 12 for 76 yards going towards the halftime, and then by the end of the third quarter, he's got 285 yards passing. But I think the Cardinals will, you know, with Murray just setting, you know, things in motion, I'm going to go Murray, but if I had to take a second half, I might take Rodgers in the second half for that kind of number.
Defense. Who gives up more points? The Packers defense or the Cardinals defense?
Well, because I think the Cardinals will win by a few points here, I think it'll be the Packer defense, you know, by a hair, you know, and then who knows? I mean, maybe the Packer defense scores a touchdown or two, but I don't see, you know, Murray giving away the house tomorrow. I think Arizona comes out, plays a little conservative early to kind of feel out the Packers. And I think this will be more of an exciting second half game. I think the first half will kind of be a little bit more of one of those kind of heavyweight fights where the refs always kind of breaking them up. You'll see some punting. I think you'll see some stalled drives early, maybe just first quarter, but I'm going to go with Cardinals.
On both ends, I like Kyler Murray for yards and touchdowns, but I absolutely like the Cardinals defense to give up less points. Mm-hmm. I just think they're better at this point. And this is not my homerism of Chicago going against Green Bay. I think that the Cardinals are the best team in football. I know that you can only beat the teams you play, but they've beat some good teams. So you can only beat the teams on your schedule. But at the same time, I think that they've proven with a electric superstar at quarterback and a serviceable defense, they are legit Super Bowl contenders. So we are talking about overs and unders. We're talking about betting lines and money lines. There's also parlays, man. And if you use your code word great friends and you head over to DraftKings, we got a deal for you. Browner and Law, hey, we're huge NBA guys, and the NBA is back at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports bettor and NBA partner. The keys to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5, $5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on any NBA team and win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. $200 in free bets, man. So why not? Why not get involved?
Right? Because DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with the new same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Get that cash!
So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code GREATFRIENDS. Let me repeat that again. Promo code GREATFRIENDS. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. $200. If they win, you win. How can you beat that? Remember, Great Friends is the promotional code this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports bettor of the NBA. And remember, if you have problems gambling, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. So there you go. That's the best way we can help you guys. Great Friends. Great Friends. That's the best way we can help you earn some money, win some money, because the hot Black Friday is coming up. Do you even shop for Black Friday, Jason?
You know, I'm not much.
Are you
of a
into
consumer.
Punching people?
I'm not
for
much
television?
Of a consumer. I really ain't. I'm not. I'm a minimalist. I own a car, I have a wife, and
that's it.
And some memorabilia. That's it. If I do buy anything, usually for myself, I don't buy like fancy clothes. Really, I like trips. I like to invest my consumption in travel. So. I don't have a lot of, but I'm not a shopper, man. We give each other like one gift for Christmas and a birthday, and we plan trips. We're going to Maui in February. You know, we're going to this concert this weekend for my birthday, getting a nice room at the Hilton, Beverly Hilton. So we splurge in ways where we can kind of enjoy the huge experience and not trip over stuff all over the house, you know?
I get that. I respect that. I buy things. I buy lots of things.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
I'm that guy. I'm a buyer. I'm not a tripper. That's so funny. We're completely opposites in that way. I'm not a tripper, man. We live in San Diego, California. This is probably one of the most beautiful places in the country and quite possibly in the world. We live at the vacation spot.
And that's why I live here, because I like that. I like those experiences. Right?
Yeah.
Like we went through Tuscany and Italy for our honeymoon. And some people, when I got married back in Ohio, people were like, wait, where are you going on your honeymoon? And we were like, well, we're waiting until October. We're going to like Italy, Tuscany, Venice. And they're like, you're not going to like Hawaii? I'm like, we live at the beach.
Right.
I'm gonna go honeymoon on a beach? I
right.
Can walk to it.
All right, every day is a honeymoon. We live. Yeah, I can exactly. Hear the ocean from my house.
Right.
I think I'm okay. Exactly. So that, yeah, man, that's why I'm not really big on the destinations of places. Like if I lived in Chicago, absolutely, I'd be trying to get out of there every chance I got. But I'm at the
why you live in San Diego,
right? Exactly. So speaking of living, let's make some bets. I think I still got this logo in here about who you got. Oh nope. Guess I got rid of it. Anyway, we're gonna talk some games. We're gonna go over some bets again. We're not professionals yet. We're working on it. So if you're going to bet these games, we want to cut. Because also, I don't have any ethics when it comes to gambling. I'm trying to get paid like you're trying to get paid. So here are the games that we're going over, and we're picking winners and losers. Steelers-Browns. Don't know if the USC talk is a distraction for the Steelers more than Big Ben's terrible play at quarterback has been. But I'm going to say the Browns in this game. Because I think the Browns defense will find a way to win that game. Browns by a field goal.
Ooh, okay. So a little bit inside the spread. Right now the spread's 3.5. It's going to depend a lot on if Baker plays. He says he's going to play. He says he's ready to play. But I don't know. I think Big Ben, the Steelers, have a big chip on their shoulder about that playoff game last year. So. This one worries me, you know. The Browns got out of that Thursday night with a win, so I, as much as I love the Browns, it's good. I'd take the Steelers on the money line.
Ooh, see, you have fandom fear. You have fandom fear. You know, I always, if it's ever on the fence, I go, give me the Bears. I never go, no. Give me the other team. I never do that. I'm like, if it's on the fence, give me the Bears. Mm. Titans, Colts. This one was hard for me for many reasons. This one was hard for me because as much as I've seen Tennessee be great, if you plug the run, what can Tannehill do for you? And I'm going to go with nothing, because Tannehill and Sam Darnold are very similar. If their running back is running the world over or being as versatile as Christian McCaffrey can be, they look unbelievable. If you put 8-9 in a box and they've done 15 runs and they've got 25 yards, Tannehill don't look so good. But at the same time, the Colts are very up and down. I like Jonathan Taylor. I like their offense. Everybody knows I love Carson Wentz. Their defense has been solid. But it's hard for me to say that after what I watched them do to the Ravens. But I'm gonna go Colts. I'm gonna go Colts. I think this is the week they fall asleep.
I don't think that's a bad bet at all. I think Tennessee, you know, how many times can you go to that well and expect Henry to just carry the load constantly? Vegas knows. I mean, they're only giving the Colts a point. It's at home. The Colts have the home field. I feel like Tennessee, after some of these wins, they're due for a letdown. They're one of these teams that, you know, they are the quintessential NFL team that's just like, oh, man, did you see the Titans last week?
Yeah.
And then they come out flatter than a pancake the next week or after two straight great games. And then you go, oh, my God, this team's going to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I don't mind that pick at all. I'm going to say we'll jump into one where I like the – if I had, you know, the money to throw at the money line, I'm taking the Lions for their first win at home against the Eagles. They're getting a little over a field goal, and they're at home.
Do you not like your money?
No, I'm telling you, man. I don't know what the money line is. It's got to be at least a plus 125 or
are you
or
not trying to go on that vacation we just talked about? What are you doing?
No, I'm telling you, man. I think that the Lions have been close to a W a few times this year. You know, they threw spaghetti at the wall at the Rams last week and flustered them for first half. But Eagles are just, you know, I mean, who knows what you're going to get with the Eagles?
As crazy as this may sound, the Lions have been bad, but so has the Eagles.
Yes.
But the Eagles have been bad in a understandable and constructive way. The Lions have been bad, like, our luck is so bad, a 66-yard field goal went in against us to win the game. Like, I can't put any.
Well, this is it. I think this is Jared Goff's career on a platter right here. I really do. I think if Jared Goff can't figure out how to beat this Eagle team at home, I don't know how his.
Who you putting in? Who they put
as
in?
A quarter, but I'm just saying his future as a quarterback, his value, his stock, his everything. Yeah, the Lions may have to live with him for the rest of the year or whatnot, or even in the next year. But I just think it's, you know, this is a bring me his head moment.
This is what I think we are losing sight on of Jared Goff. Jared Goff isn't the savior. But Jared Goff isn't bad. He's on a bad team trying to look average. So he also now looks bad because he's not good enough to raise all boats. He's not that tied. And so what helped that along, the coach who knows what he's doing, we're not sure Dan Campbell knows what he's doing. Their offensive coordinator is Anthony Lynn, who was a running back coach and then was a Chargers head coach and wouldn't put in Justin Herbert. And we see how that turned out. So I can't say that I have any confidence, whether it be through their offensive line play, their special teams play, their coaching play, or their quarterback play, that they're going to beat anybody this year. Yeah. So enjoy donating that money to whatever site you choose to put it down on. Patriots, Chargers. This game seems more like a revenge game, even though the coach wasn't there last year, when they got their ass kicked by the Patriots in L.A. I don't think Justin Herbert's going to let that happen again. I think Justin Herbert learns from this message from last year. I'm taking the Chargers by two touchdowns.
Ooh, I don't know if it's going to be that big of a game, that big of a, you know, deficit for the Patriots. I like the way the Patriots have played up until that big win last week. I know it was against the Dolphins. Who cares? But 54 points. The offense is getting a little bit more, you know,
acclimated
and established. I think they'll be able to put up some points against that Charger defense. I like the Chargers, obviously, at home, especially coming off that big bad loss they had 2 weeks ago off their bye week. But I think it'll be a little bit closer. I think the Chargers might win by 10 or 17 kind of going away, but I think it'll be kind of one of those tug of wars. Maybe not as high scoring as the Browns game, but I think it'll be one of those you score maybe, you know, 35-27, 35-24 type ball games.
Speaking of, are you real? Cowboys, Vikings. The Vikings tend to always surprise you when you least expect it. And the Cowboys always seem to let you down right when you don't think they will. I'm picking the Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a perfect way to put it. You know, every year it just does seem like that in recent memory. It does seem like all of a sudden you're like, really, the Vikings? They're 6-3? Like, how did
right.
that, you know? And then all of a sudden you're like, ah, the Cowboys, man. What happened here?
These here like, I go believing in them and they drop a game to the Vikings.
Losing teams or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be – this was the game I've been waiting for in, you know, when we've discussed power rankings in the past. This is the game I've been waiting for on the Cowboys schedule to say, prove to me now. Now go out and clean Minnesota's clock, right? Or go out and convincingly beat this team here on this Sunday to go 6-1, and then I'll start putting you in my rankings. So this is a toss-up. I wouldn't touch this game if I, you know, it was one of those where I like, ooh, man, you know, just because the Vikings are at home, and you're right, they're that team that all of a sudden you're just like, how are they, you know, the second best wild card team or something like that midway through the season. So, yeah.
What a week we've had, man. We've had a good week. A lot of things happened this week.
Yeah, a lot of just stuff to talk about, a lot of off-field, you know, off-court stuff, and looking so forward to, you know, the NBA season unfolding more, and as the NFL season gets to the nitty-gritty and we start really seeing who's the playoff teams and who's the division winners. These next 2 months are exciting.
See y'all next week. Brown and Lawhead. Peace.
Peace.